welcome to the Hoops Joint Podcast. I'm your host, Zen, and this is your resident writer extraordinaire, Nicole.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for that nice introduction, Zen. What's up? So we're previewing round two today, right?
Yes, we're previewing round two, even though the Mavs Clippers is still up in the air, but I'm sure the Clippers will win that.
You never know. Last time they were in a game seven. But anyway, go on. I digress. So what's happening tomorrow?
All right. So tomorrow, the Nets and Bucks will finally meet in the second round. Some say it's the finals of this playoffs since the Lakers got, you know, eliminated. Anyway, so Nets and Bucks, what are your thoughts with regards to that special matchup?
Yeah, I think that's gonna, I mean, I said this about the Heat and Bucks series last round and I was disappointed, but this one I'm very sure when I say it that this is gonna be a really, really fun series, and I'm so excited for it. I think this is the most exciting one. I mean, for throughout the NBA, yeah, there's nothing to look forward to masyado sa West. But yeah, this is gonna be so fun. It's literally two contenders, and I'm very excited. How about you? What are your thoughts on it as a Bucks fan? Can you like run us through it? For sure, nervous. Yeah,
I'm nervous, of course, very, very nervous. But I'm excited as well. With the sweep that the Bucks did
against, yeah, they played so well. Yeah,
rival Miami Heat. I just hope it translates against the Brooklyn Nets. But I like the matchup. I think Jrue Holiday would be key to this series. Will he be able to make it hard for either Kyrie or James Harden? It really depends on how they would start this series. Would Bud continue to do drop coverage for the defense with Brook Lopez at the five, or would they play small like the Nets with Blake Griffin? You know, the questions with regards to the series. And the Bucks would really miss Dante DiVincenzo. With regards to the three-headed monster, KD, Harden, and Kyrie, would you think they would opt to take advantage of isolation plays like they did with the Celtics?
No, I don't think so, because the Bucks defense, at least versus that Heat team I watched, was incredible. So, like I said in the last pod, that I really don't take anything away from that Celtics Nets series, because the Celtics were just cooked after game three, right? Like, they were just done. And it was just more of like an exhibition series for Brooklyn. So it's not gonna be like the Celtics series, that's for sure. They're gonna face a tougher defense, and they have, yeah, sure, they're three good lethal offensive superstars, but they also have to defend Giannis. They have to make sure Chris Middleton doesn't get hot, who, by the way, had such a great series versus the Heat. And there's Jrue Holiday, who for me is the most underrated player in the league.
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
So, yeah, it's not going to be an easy task for them. If the Bucks can somehow find a way to impose their will early in the series, I think they can take it. It's not a series that's up for grabs for the Nets, that's for sure. What about you? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, it's scary. I'm just going to be honest. It's scary because they matched up with the Nets three times and they didn't face the three of them at the same time. So this is a different kind of environment for Bud, because they have to scout the past series again with them against the Celtics. So, the question is, who would they rely on with DiVincenzo's injury? Would Pat Connaughton play like 20 or 30 minutes? Would Ben Forbes perform as well as he has had? I mean, with the Heat, will Bobby Portis play a role? And I think Jeff Teague will get minutes as well, because he has been out of the rotation for a while. So I don't know. It really depends on how Bud plays his defense. If Brook can stay on the floor long enough for them to pack the paint, or would they go small as Giannis as the center and PJ Tucker as the power forward? I really don't know, but at least with how the Bucks roster is structured, they have this switchability that they have been aiming for since the offseason. Of course, they were questionable signings like DJ Augustine, which they shipped eventually for Tucker. And that on I don't know why they gave up on Torrey Craig that easy, but now we have this team, so it's just up to the Nets on how they match up with the Bucks defensively. Would they play defense? Would they play Blake Griffin for 40 minutes at center, or would they give the minutes to what's his name, Claxton? Would he be key to this matchup? With Jeff Green gone, who would take his place? Bruce Brown or Landry Shamet? It's really, there are a lot of questions, and it's about to be answered tomorrow, so I'm definitely excited on how it turns out.
Right, for sure. So we move on. What are the other series? So there's the Hawks versus Sixers. This one, it just got interesting because of Embiid's injury, obviously, and the fact that Joel Embiid did not play their last game versus the Wizards is concerning for me, especially in the playoffs. Maybe because I watch Anthony Davis way too much, but a tear, I mean, I'm no medical expert. In fact, I'm very far from it. But I mean, that's scary, right? I mean,
Yeah,
how
even a
scared, how
small tear.
worried are you if you were a Sixer fan?
I'm definitely worried. Not just for the series, but for the future of the franchise as well. Would they still surround players around Joel Embiid as their core player? Will Tobias Harris answer the call if Embiid is out? It's just really concerning, because with Ben Simmons' limits offensively, I don't know where the Sixers go from here, frankly. Would they trade him eventually? Would, because risking Embiid, honestly, just for the shot of the title, would be bad for them, I think, because the last time a big man played through MCL tear is Andrew Bynum, and that was in 2009. So they won.
And he wasn't so effective, right? I mean, I
He
love
was
Andrew Bynum.
okay. He was solid. I remember an interview with Pau Gasol that he said Andrew Bynum played his heart out, and he was huge for us playing through that injury. But after that, I think he, if I remember correctly, he took the surgery after they won the championship, but after that he was injury riddled. So I don't know. It's gonna be swelling so bad for Embiid during that time. I don't know if he can even play through it, even if it's a small tear. I think the best thing would be thinking about the future of the franchise for Philadelphia. Would they, if, for example, Embiid goes the route to take the surgery, during this playoffs, they should punt it. I don't know. I don't think Tobias Harris can carry the team to the finals anyway. I'm going for the Hawks with the series. I don't think Embiid can make much of a difference, even if he plays.
It makes sense. And it's just sad, you know, because he had a good regular season, right? He was in the MVP convo, and it seemed like Philadelphia was finding their stride. In fact, besides the Bucks, a lot of experts have Philadelphia at least challenging Brooklyn, right? So, and the main reason why is because Embiid is their front court, and Embiid is their biggest mm-hmm. asset, right? So it's sad, and I don't know. I wanted Philadelphia to pull the trigger for that James Harden trade. Remember, they were in in talks to pair Harden and Embiid up. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wish they did that.
The problem with that is the relationship between Daryl Morey and the Houston Rockets. I think that prevented.
Yeah, that was there. Yeah, that was a factor. Sad, but it is what it is. I mean, Philly's a good team. I watched them this season. I don't know. It's just, who knows? But I don't know. Good news for the Sixers, though. I saw a tweet that Embiid did attend practice today. So it's going to be interesting to watch him moving forward.
He practices. I think he will play. Trae Young has been playing really well.
Yeah.
And with his prowess, you know, getting fouls and, you know, managing the pick and roll against big men with Embiid's limited mobility due to that small tear on his meniscus, I don't think he would really last. I mean, would he risk his future just for a shot for the ring? Him being extension eligible next season, that should be something on his mind as well. Maybe that's why he will push through. I don't know. Those are just questions that are circling around my head regarding his, you know, future. Because he is the face of the franchise. I don't think Ben Simmons would ever be.
Yeah, I don't think so. Ben Simmons just, I don't know. I know Cash Waltz will keep pointing out that he can't shoot, which is true, naman, but he's just not that generational talent. I don't know, am I too harsh here? Or for me, he's an all-star, but not a superstar. Does that make sense?
He's a great defensive player. He would.
Yes, yeah.
He would have a career, you know, just maintaining that elite level of defense that he has right now. But offensively, if he doesn't even try, you know, taking a three with his size, and he would just rely on, you know, hook shots and, you know, points in the paint.
Yeah, he
limited offensively. Yeah. People would sag off of him defensively. They would like, let's load up on Embiid instead, rather. Let's leave him open. Yeah, sure. He's open at the three. He won't shoot it, you know, because he would be very predictable. He would be that crack on their, you know, offense. So, I don't know. But they have good players around him. Tobias is solid. Danny Green is solid. Seth Curry has been great lately, with him being the only son in the playoffs. I think it would bode well for the Sixers. But with Atlanta's talent right now, Bogey, Capella, Trae Young, John Collins, DeAndre Hunter, I think he would be a crucial player in that roster. Defensively, he made it hard for Julius Randle to be effective offensively with his length and defensive prowess. This is why he was drafted high in the first place. So things are looking up in Atlanta. I think Trae Young can reach the Eastern Conference Finals, and it would be earlier than Luka. So
that's gonna be interesting. The East have the four better teams,
mm-hmm.
right, compared to the West. But if we're looking top to bottom, I'd say the West is harder, and it's annoying for me because the West teams face each other more than they face East teams, right?
Because if the Grizzlies were in the Eastern Conference, they would be at least the fifth seed.
Exactly. And if the Lakers, given their injuries, were in the East, they wouldn't be in the play-in, right?
Yeah.
But whatever. It is what it is.
So the only thing that I'm concerned about with the Clippers is if Embiid misses games, would Tobias Harris, you know, be the guy? But I don't know. I'm just not that. Some people compare him to Middleton, like the very smooth guy that can make jumpers and everything else. But he's a star, but not like a star, you know?
Yeah, I like Middleton.
But we'll see. Next, let's go to the West. Let's go first with Suns and Nuggets, since that is the sure thing. Are you concerned about CP3's health at all?
Yes, I am. Because, I mean, yeah, he's back. But the fact that he's going to enter that series not 100% is still going to be hard for the Suns. But I think the Suns can handle the Nuggets even if CP3 isn't 100%, because the Suns are a good team. They're really good. And again, that's not to put a knock on the Nuggets. I think the Suns are the second or third best team in the West next to a healthy Lakers. I'm sorry, it's bias over here. But yeah, the Suns are a good team. They're well coached. They have the leadership. They have the composure. They have the veterans. And sure, people are going to say, oh, they don't have the experience. But if their role players are knocking down shots like they did versus the Lakers series, and our campaign plays out of his mind, then I think they're in a good position, because the Nuggets don't have wings to throw at Jay Crowder or like Miles Bridges or who else. I mean, yeah, they have Jokic, but Ayton can contain him, not necessarily stop him, but, you know, just put a body on him. And I think the Suns can, bottom line is, I think the Suns can handle the Nuggets. It could go 6 or 7, but I'll take the Suns in that one. What about you?
I actually disagree with you. One thing that made me change my mind, I was actually leaning towards the Suns at first, but with how the Nuggets have performed against Portland, the thing is, I thought with their deficiencies at the guard position, the Portland Trail Blazers would take advantage of that, but they didn't. Monte Morris has been playing over his mind. Austin Rivers has been playing over his mind.
Why did the New York Knicks let him go? But anyway,
he wasn't in the rotation when he got let go. So it was,
which in my opinion, was so bad. But anyway, go on.
Well, Alec Burks was the go-to guy of Thibs. That's why he got.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I just think they have enough pieces to go to survive. I think Ayton can stop Jokic, honestly. He's a good defender, but I think with Jokic's experience in the playoffs, he would, you know, outsmart Ayton defensively. Because if you remember with his series against the Lakers, they were moments that his teammates were mad at Ayton, you know, like, why did you do that? Why did you foul? Like,
he's a young player, yeah.
He's a young player that's really impressive first playoffs ever for him.
Yeah, he's been good.
And he fouled like 18 times, I think, if I remember correctly. So he fouled less, but with Jokic at the center of attention in that series, I think Jokic can play his cards right. Who would defend him if, for example, Ayton is fouled?
Yeah, they have to build a wall. I mean, they have no choice, right?
Dario Saric? No. Frank Kaminsky? No. Jalen Smith, who hasn't played any minutes? I doubt it.
Yeah.
So, I think with the MVP of this current season, Nikola.
Yeah, I really like Denver. I mean, I know we all have that second team, and I'm not really loud about it because I don't want to be considered up to bandwagon. But if there's that second team we all have, I mean, for me personally, it's Denver. I've liked them since last year's.
But you're picking the Suns then, anyway.
No, I'm not, like, this is just me personally. I like Denver as a team, but in this series, objectively, I just think the Suns have an advantage. I like how we're both in a different, we both have different
the thing
arguments.
Is for me, Barton is coming back for Denver. So
yeah.
He can guard Devin Booker. That's a plus for them.
Booker's phenomenal.
Yeah. Booker,
Booker was so good. Yeah, but also you have to take note, KCP, after that injury he suffered in game three, mm-hmm. was that game three? Yeah, game three, he wasn't the same player, right?
Yeah.
Prior to that, he was doing a relatively okay job guarding Booker, and then when he got injured, Booker just went off, right? So I want to see how Booker performs in this series. But ultimately, I think I got the Suns winning this. I feel the Nuggets will miss Murray. I know this has been said, thrown at them throughout the season, but it has never showed. But I think this is the series where the Suns just take it.
But you have to take into consideration they're going to Denver as well, games 3 and 4. The altitude might affect those Arizona people. So anyway, I digress. So
that's why I was so jealous too, because like it was so unfair because Staples Center for both the Lakers and the Clippers, the Clippers and the cardboard, and they literally had just 7,000 fans compared to Phoenix, who had 18,000, and the Nuggets, I have to double check how many they have, but it makes a difference, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
I'm sorry, 8,000 to 18,000. And Denver's crowd is insane. Insane. So, yeah, it's going to be so interesting. Super, super interesting.
But I'm taking Nuggets in, like, 6 at least. I'm gonna
interesting. I'm picking Suns in 6 or 7.
We'll see. So, next, last but not least, the Utah Jazz and potentially the Clippers
or the Mavs. Let's just assuming na lang both teams make it. So let's start with Clippers and the Jazz. What are your thoughts? 3 points.
Okay, if the Clippers move forward and match up with the Utah Jazz, I think they would win in 5 games.
Ooh. Why?
I don't think anyone can guard Kawhi, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, who's going to guard Royce O'Neal? Please. Bojan Bogdanovic.
Yeah.
The coach of the Grizzlies. I'm sorry. He looks like the coach of the Grizzlies. Who's going to guard him, honestly? Donovan can guard him.
Yeah.
Clarkson can guard him. So it's going to be a matchup nightmare for them. And if especially now that the Clippers have learned how to play small.
Right.
I think they would take advantage of Gobert on that end. Like,
interesting.
So I'm really, really leaning toward towards the Clippers of them
Clippers
moving. Yeah.
making it to their first conference finals.
I think they would reach it if they win against the Mavs, but I think they would win. With the conspiracy theory being, having no big market team in the finals, I think Adam Silver would like the Clippers to reach
Oh, so you're saying
the
Adam Silver is gonna find a way to get the Clippers
I'm not
there?
100% saying it, but it's a possibility. That's all I'm saying.
Makes sense. That's a tough one. I don't know. For you, it's super easy to say Clippers at five, but I don't know. I don't think the Utah Jazz are contenders, don't get me wrong, but I also don't think they're frauds. I think they're a good team. They're well coached and they have a system that they can follow, but they have one style of play. So if the Jazz can somehow outshoot the Clippers in this series, I think they have a good shot. By the way, the Clipper role players did not really show up in this series, versus the Dallas Mavericks. Except Reggie Jackson, who, by the way, was phenomenal
Yeah, he
versus
saved.
Afghanistan.
He is single-handedly saving the
Yeah, in
Clippers.
the first half, right? If he didn't explode, they were cooked. But the role players of the Clippers that really showed up versus the Mavs were Reggie Jackson, Rondo. Oh, I miss Rondo. Playoff Rondo. Not even Luke Kennard. No, playoff Rondo.
Kennard.
Terrence Mann. Even if
Yeah,
he's
Terrence
like,
Mann, the
he
smallest
adds a
center
pop.
in the league.
Yeah, he adds pop to that team, right? So if this continues for them, I don't know, the Jazz might just have a shot, right? And the Clippers defense isn't as good either, diba? And I don't know, Kawhi is really, really good, but they also have to worry about Mitchell and Gobert. Like, let's face it, he gets fun of all the time, but Zubac needs to play well. Or if they don't have Ibaka, who seems to just be out, I don't know, I haven't heard an update on Ibaka, but it's
Yeah,
always just
back
questionable. It
injury.
doesn't look good right
Back
now.
spasms, I think.
So Ibaka needs to play in this series. So I wouldn't really say it's Clippers at five, but I think this is a series that could also go to seven or six games. And also take note, take note, lol. Take note, the Clippers are coming from a seven-game series. Meanwhile, the Jazz are nicely resting, right? They're
And possibly
scouting.
without Conley as well.
Yeah, oh yeah, Conley's hamstring, right? But I follow a Jazz reporter kasi. He said that Conley addressed the media after the Memphis versus Jazz game. So that's normally a good sign. And yeah, I think that's a good sign because
That's
that's
good.
what he did when he injured his calf. He talked to the media after, and a lot speculated that that's a good sign because when the player talks to the media, it's normally just, their way of saying, yeah, I'm good.
They're ready,
So yeah, it's gonna depend on injuries too. But I don't think the Jazz are easy outs in this series. I'd give them a fighting chance. Next, the Jazz and the Mavs. What are your thoughts on that if ever it happens? This is the
Jazz in
series I want.
four.
Jazz in four.
I don't
Wow.
think the way the Mavericks play defense just, it takes my breath away in a bad way. They just don't play defense. And
It's, I'm sorry,
Chris
but it's KP. It's, ugh.
KP is just so bad. He has
Yeah.
I think ever since he went back from his recent because he got injured again when he came back. So he just wasn't the same anymore. He doesn't play defense that good anymore. His lateral movement is bad. So I don't know, unless Luka scores 50 per game, that's the only chance the Mavs get against the Jazz. I don't think they even beat the Jazz during the regular season, so I don't think they have a fighting chance. So I really prefer the Clippers to face the Jazz in the second round, just because they have learned from their mistakes. With Ty Lue making necessary adjustments, using a small ball lineup, I think that would be a plus for them. If, for example, Zubac is just being torched by Donovan Mitchell, so
I don't
really think the Mavs have a chance against the Jazz.
Have a chance versus the Jazz. So we'll see. As for me, yeah, that's right. I just don't think the Mavs match up well with Jazz, even if that's a series I want to see, because I don't like seeing the Clippers succeed. But yeah, it's just a bad matchup for them, and sure, Luka can go nuclear, but ultimately, yeah, they just don't match up well for me, and I'd give like the Jazz like five games to eliminate the Mavs.
For so sure. I think we're good with the preview of the second round. We'll see how it goes with the Mavericks and the Clippers. Thank you for listening to our pod. We hope to see you again soon. This has been Zen and our writer extraordinaire Nicole, and hopefully Tim would join us soon. See you guys.